Welcome to the third Saturday in October. It is Alabama Week. Eric Kane, Rob Lewis, Brent Hubbs, I'm Austin Price for the Rocky Top Roundtable. And guys, Tennessee's got to play better this week, but I still think they got to start where you know that they've been pretty good, at least in the second half, and that's running the football with Dylan Sampson.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to run the football early in the first half is what they've got to get done. I mean, Sampson's numbers in the second half are really good, but the first half numbers, Rob, are not very good. And as a result, Tennessee's ground game is middle of the pack in the SEC now, which seems kind of unlikely or unthinkable where they were at the start of the year.
And especially when you look at the numbers Dylan's putting up individually himself. I mean, he's on his way. He's got a great shot at, setting Tennessee's all-time single-season rushing record. But, yeah, the productivity for SEC against SEC defenses prior, compared to what it was our prior, it's huge, huge dip. I mean, you always expect that. It's been significant. But, oddly enough, this could be a get-right game for Tennessee's running game against Alabama. You never thought you'd say that in a million years. Best passing offense in the league, one of the worst rushing defenses. It's not Nick Saban's Alabama team.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you can overcome a slow start running the football and a slow start in general offensively at Arkansas, take a 13-3 lead in the second half, then hold it, of course. And you can be down 10-0 against this Florida Gators, but Alabama, a little bit all over the map, but we know about the talents obviously there with Jalen Milroe and across the board. You get off to a slow start, you might not have enough time to come back in that second half. So, yeah, it's going to be key for him, for the Tennessee offense to get going early.
You go back to this past week's game, and Josh Heupel said this after the game. He didn't feel like, they were far off. And when you look at some of the misses, the deep shots, Tennessee was just, a yard or 2 yards. It's like when you're playing golf and you've got to cover the bunker at 109 yards, and you hit it 110, it ends up being good. You hit it 109, it ends up in the bunker. Like, you can, it's a game of narrow misses. Right here's a narrow miss. They can't have narrow misses Saturday against an Alabama team that doesn't traditionally miss those type of deep shots.
Well, and it's an Alabama team that's not very good in the secondary. They've given up a bunch of plays. And so I think the challenge for Tennessee's offensive coordinator, Joey Halsley, and Josh Heupel is finding that balance of taking some shots, but also taking some easier throws to get your passing game going. You got to have some patience there, but when you do dial one of those up, you got to hit them. Tennessee had three of them, and they just didn't connect on any of them, Rob, on Saturday against Florida, and that's a game changer for this offense.
Yeah, I mean, they were there, and I mean, the ones you're talking about, the one that AP just referenced, I mean, they were there. If Nico hits that one to Squirrel or the other one in the first half, I mean, it blows the lid off Neyland Stadium, and it loosens things up. It makes things easier. And right now, the balance you're talking about, I know Eric and I were talking about it Saturday night. You dialed deep shot, and, you're like, I don't blame you, Josh. I like to get an easy one. But at the same time, with the way this offense is operating, second 10 looks, that looks like a chore now.
Oh, yeah, connecting on one of those deep shots as well will give confidence to your young quarterback who I think at times right now especially is kind of playing with not a whole lot of confidence in the pocket. We talked about, I think he looks better when he's out of the pocket, when he's throwing off platform, when he's rolling out. But, one of those deep balls, of course, can jumpstart the offense, can get the run game going and all that, but also give confidence to a quarterback that you're going to need to be playing confidently in the second half against all these teams, but Alabama for sure.
For me, I just think you got to hit the deep shots. You got to connect on some of those just to kind of loosen everything up. But I think, just kind of keep momentum when you have it. I mean, the other night, anytime they kind of, we're going tempo, momentum, boom, fumble at the mesh point. Going to tempo, boom, two holding penalties or two sacks given up. I mean, like, you can't have things, those little things that end up sending you in reverse. Like, Tennessee's offense is not good enough to overcome that. And so, for me, like, they've got to be able to keep momentum when you have it. And they had it a handful of times the other night and could not sustain it within the drive.
Well, and again, I think that's where they get a little impatient with the pass game. You look at the end of the first half, they hit Ethan Davis on a couple of quick out throws. Yeah. They never come back to it in the second half. First play of the game, they roll out. It's a 14-yard reception on a little comeback deal to the outside. And they never really come back to it. It's almost like, okay, well, we've hit a couple. That means the defense has softened up. Now let's go take a shot. And I think you can just keep methodically attacking, which is out of the norm for them, Rob. But I think they can keep a little bit more methodically attacking in the passing game and not get so impatient throwing the football.
Well, I mean, it feels like they're doing that to some extent because Dylan Sampson leads the SEC in rushing attempts. But at the same time, they're not extending those drives. I mean, because they're not converting on third down. I mean, Tennessee, if it other than Oklahoma, Tennessee is the worst offense in the league and can stand on the field in third down. 17 of 50, and that's in SEC-only games.
This is like me trying to hit fairways.
they're just not staying on the field, Hubbard. I mean, to your point.
Defensively, though, Tennessee's also – we talk about leaning on the run game. They got to lean on their defense. And you know, the defense has got to continue to carry this team. It has to be what leads. And until the offense can figure it out, if they're ever able to figure it out, this defense has got to continue. Jermaine McCoy's got to continue to make plays. James Pierce has to continue to wreak havoc. And guess what? For guys like James Pierce who are headed to the draft at the end of the year, this is a game where, like, they're going to flip on the tape. They're going to flip on the tape to see what you did against Caden Proctor. So this is a show-me game for some of these kids.
Well, I mean, I think any type of SEC matchup is a show-me game. I think the challenge for Tennessee defensively, Eric, when you look at this one, is this is the best chunk play team Tennessee's played. They've got a couple of guys. Milroe can go 60 yards on a quarterback keeper if you bust an assignment. And obviously Ryan Williams can take it to the house from anywhere on the field. This is more than any other game Tennessee's played. They've got to eliminate the chunk plays.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you prepared for a little bit of a dual threat in Jackson Arnold and Taylen Green. And you didn't really see an awful lot from that Taylen Green, but you prepared for it. You prepared for it a little bit last week as well with, obviously, the two quarterback system. We know Mertz is more athletic than he showed, and, of course, C.J. Lagway. You're going to get it this week. Of course, we all know Jalen Milroe. He's got 11 rushing touchdowns already this season and six games to go along with 12 passing touchdowns. So gap integrity, I think these linebackers are going to be key in this football game to not only stop the run, not only get back in their pass routes, but also to see Milroe there when he's running, especially on third down, you've got to go up and make a tackle. I think that's going to be key.
For me, I love the matchup of, you know, Jermaine McCoy and potentially Ryan Williams. We'll see how much they actually go head-to-head. But, like, McCoy's playing, obviously, fantastic. Ryan Williams has been outstanding to this point in the year. And so I love that matchup. The play that Florida scored on the other night would be the one that gives me pause with the defense, because he stepped up and they were kind of in the zone and found the big hitter. Like, they can't allow Milroe to step up. I think, you know, if they've got to build almost an umbrella around that guy.
Yeah, I mean,
they did that a year ago, yeah. Especially for the first half, and then even then he did make some plays in the second half. But
you just can't let him get in a rhythm.
Yeah,
he's a rhythm player. I mean, when he's rolling, he's really good. In the first half against Georgia, he played lights out. That's why everybody had him as the Heisman Trophy winner. He was just okay at best against South Carolina last week, Eric. And I think the thing you have to do is you cannot let him get comfortable. I think you got to give him different looks. Mm-hmm. I think you got to get him moving sometimes. I don't think you can just say, hey, we're going to wall you off and let you send in the pocket and ask everybody in the back end to cover Ryan Williams and these other receivers for yeah. 6 or 7 seconds. I mean, no. I think you got to get after him. You got to take some chances, but you got to make him play faster than he wants to play.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I think Jalen Milroe, obviously a fantastic football player. When he's on, he's as good as anybody in the country. When he's off, it's kind of a thrill a minute. Against South Florida, he did not have a good football game. Against Vanderbilt, he was okay. Against South Carolina, he was okay. So mix some things up, keep him guessing a little bit. And Rob, I think the safeties, kind of going back to what Austin said on that play with DJ Lagway stepping up, he just split the safeties. And you're going to need to have safety help to Ryan Williams, but you can't be over-pursuing towards that side and allow something to come in that back end and cover too. I think the safeties are going to have to really hold their position this week, but also, you know, help out with Ryan Williams.
Well, and Milroe, too, will kill you. I mean, I wonder, almost wonder if you don't play more zone because you're afraid you're afraid to turn your back to him and open things up just because he's, you know, I mean, that Ryan Williams is dangerous. I mean, Milroe, that's a known factor. I mean, he can go 60 on you in a heartbeat. So to me, that's how Tennessee defenses that, you know, the balance between, you know, giving safety help, playing zone versus man, and because of Milroe's legs, I think it'd be something to watch.
And third down, I mean, they can't give up. I mean, they gave one up to Graham Mertz the other day, you know, on a scramble on third and, you know, 6 or 7. Austin, they've got to not allow that to happen. They can't allow Milroe's legs to extend drives to where all of a sudden now Alabama's on the field 6 or 7 minutes. They've got it. When it's third and long, they've got to get off the field. However, they've got to play it defensively. They can't let him scramble for 7 to move the sticks.
All right, give me the player that Tennessee needs to play well besides Nico. Take that off the table. We all agree on that. Besides that, who?
Yeah, I'm going to go linebackers. I said it earlier, I think this is a big game to where, you know, as a linebacker, you're always supposed to respect the run, cover the pass as well. You got to kind of do it all. with this type of quarterback and Jalen Milroe, you've got to be head on the swivel the entire game. So Arian Carter, I'll go Jeremiah Tlander. I think some of these third downs are going to be crucial. Milroe is going to be looking to pick it up with his legs. You got to rally, make that tackle. Give me Jeremiah Tlander.
And for the same reason, I'll go safeties. I think Tennessee's defense will be the most important thing in this game. I don't think the offense is going to get better in 1 week. So, I don't think Tennessee is winning a shootout.
No.
Safeties have to play well for the same reasons you're talking about the linebackers. I mean, they're going to have to get involved in the run game. They're going to have to make sure that they have eyes on Milroe. And obviously, they got to have a hand in making sure Ryan Williams didn't kill him.
Yeah, since you took Nico, I think you're taking offense off the table in terms of what you're looking for in this game. So, I'm going to say defensive ends. I think James Pierce, Joshua Joseph, those guys have to make Milroe move off his spot, where Tennessee can get some pressure without bringing extra bodies.
I'm going to go Nico. I just wanted to let y'all have it. I'm playing. I'm going to agree with Eric, because before we even asked that question, I was going to go Arian Carter. I think his ability to play sideline to sideline with number four at quarterback for Alabama, I think he's got to have a special game if Tennessee's going to win.
I don't disagree.
Well, we broke it all down right here on the Rocky Top Roundtable. For Eric Kane, Rob Lewis, and Brent Hubbs, I'm Austin Price.